Praise God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. And we have a lot to be grateful for. You know, each and every day you wake up and you know it was not you, it was God that woke you up. Because you put an alarm next to a dead body, it will not rise. But life comes from the Father. And for that, we are grateful for what He has done and what He continues to do in our lives. We started looking at the book of Ephesians, and yesterday, as I highlighted, it's one of the books that gives us the perspective of what Christ has done for the church. It gives us the heavenly view of our Christology, our understanding, our theology of Christ, you know. When we understand who we are in Christ, when we walk in that revelation, when we see the completed works of Christ, when we don't see ourselves different from Christ, when we can see our union, our unity in Christ, our unitedness in Christ, that we are one body with Him. He is our head and we are His body, and that everything that happens to us happens to Jesus. And that is why when Saul was persecuting the church, Jesus did not ask him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute the church?" Jesus asked him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Because Jesus did not see himself or does not see himself separate from us. When he ascends to that office of the Christ, which is the highest throne in the heavens, because the Bible says, because he humbled himself, he was raised up and seated at the highest throne, far above all principalities, all thrones, all powers, all dominions, things in heaven and things under the earth. He is the head of all principalities and powers. He is seated there. And the Bible goes further to tell us we are seated with him in those heavenly places. We are seated. That means that we as believers, we operate from a place of sitting. That is the understanding that we must come from, that we are not citizens of the earth. We are not on the earth. The church has a place, has a position in the heavens, and this is your position. It's just that if you don't know your position, then you will operate from a place of ignorance. If you don't know that where Christ has positioned you, if you don't know the authority, if you don't know the place of grace that God has placed us to sit with Him, then you will operate from a place where you are apart from Christ and where you are still aiming to get to Christ. Yet Christ is wondering, "But I have already done this for you. Don't you see it?" And you see, what you don't see, you cannot possess. Revelation that God gives us is actually permission to enter into that realm. When you come to the spirit of wisdom and revelation, when God gives you insight, that deep understanding, or God brings a knowledge of truth to you, He wants you to start operating from it. And it changes the way you view things, it changes your prayers. It changes the way you view the heavens, the strata of the heavens. You know, usually we have the first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven. The first heaven is where we are. The second heaven is the place where the demons and the works of darkness are there. And then the third heavens is the heavens of Christ, the heavens of heavens, the highest of heavens. And God is telling us that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And this is our inheritance. It's not even speaking about where we shall be seated. We are seated now. There is a place where we rule and exercise dominion. And this is the place from where we speak. This is the place from where we decree things. This is the place from where we command life and life obeys. We command the elements and they obey, because we are no longer under the elements. We are above the elements. There is a place where God expects that creation hears our voice. When the Bible says, Romans, that creation has been groaning in eager expectation for the revelation, for the manifestation of the sons of God. because it is the sons of God that are able to bring healing, to speak healing to the land, to speak healing to creation. The Bible tells us creation has been groaning as in eager expectation for the revelation of the sons of God. So that is why you see Paul is very keen on praying for the church, that God will grant them the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And that is why if we read, he says, verse 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." Now, you know, when he speaks of this, first of all, he acknowledges that the Ephesians are growing not only in faith, because he established them in the truth, but also in love. Remember, faith working through love. When you say you have faith, yes, you have believed. But the evidence that we see that the faith of God is in you is in your expression of love for God, love for other fellow man, love for the saints. Love is the fulfillment of the law. So he is thanking God that indeed their truest expressions of their faith in the Lord and their love for the saints is manifest. And because of that, he does not stop to give thanks to God and making mention of them in his prayers. Paul had a burden for the churches. All these places where he had raised them, even places where he had not raised, like Colossians, he had not been the one that planted the church there. But once he hears of this church, he starts to pray for them. Now, this is a burden that he has for missions. This is a burden that he has. And one of the things that we see is that we can see now what is the content of the prayer of Paul. And you see, Paul, one of the things that he understood, and you can see that in 1 Timothy 2 from verse 1 to 4, where he says, let us pray for kings, let us pray for those in authority, let us pray for rulers. And then he says, let us pray for all men, because God desires that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That means that, and that word knowledge that is used there is epignosis. You know, in Greek, there are words that are used for knowledge. There is gnosis or ginosko, which is a progressive knowledge. But then epignosis is a complete and accurate knowledge of God, of things ethical and things divine. That means that there is a knowledge of God that every believer must come to. And when you come to this full comprehension of God, of what he has done in Christ, of the unity that Christ, that God desired to bring all things, to unite all things in heaven and on the earth on Christ. Christ becomes that dividing bridge that bridges the natural and the supernatural. Christ is the fulfillment. Christ is the office that brings all things into alignment, brings the unity of things in heaven and things on the earth. And that is why the Bible tells us we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus through our knowledge of him. His divine power has given us all that we need for life and godliness through knowledge, through the epignosis of him. So it is not a progressive, we are not progressively knowing him, but we are given an complete and accurate knowledge. It is only that as we read the word of God, as we get to experience him, that we progressively grow in that understanding and operate in it. But just because we have not yet grown to understand and operate in it does not mean that we have not been given it. But that's why he's saying to come to a knowledge. There is a coming to the knowledge. And that is why Paul in his prayers, he's saying that, he's praying that God will give unto the church, unto the believers, and to you and I that we need to ask God to give us the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom. And here wisdom is Sophia. And Sophia refers to it's wisdom, not only the wisdom that belongs to men, but it is also the wisdom that belongs to God. It is like the highest form of wisdom, Sophia. You know, there is also another kind of wisdom, which is phronesis, which is where things are working in advance. It's like you're being carried by God. You're being carried. The Bible speaks of men of old as they're carried along by the Holy Spirit. Phronesis is that intuition that you can sense things that are coming even before they come. You can think of someone and they call you. You know, that is phronesis. That is where now you are in tune with the will of God. You are in tune with the synchronicities, with the timings of the Spirit. But you see, Sophia is the wisdom of God, the complete wisdom of God, in which when you know Him, you know what to do. It speaks of an understanding heart. It is similar to what Solomon prayed for. Solomon prayed for a heart of understanding, an understanding heart. That means that you can comprehend things. You can comprehend the mind of God. And remember, we've been given, Christ has been made our wisdom and our power. You know, many times the church forgets. They either choose one, either the power and they leave the wisdom, or they choose the wisdom and they leave the power. But Christ has been made for us both the wisdom and the power of God. So this wisdom of God that we need to have, this is the messianic wisdom. This is the wisdom of Christ that is superior even to that wisdom of Solomon. Remember when Christ says, now one here wiser than Solomon stands before you. That is why Paul says, he prays for the church that God will give you the spirit of wisdom that and revelation. And revelation here is the Greek word there is apokalypsos. Apokalypsos is the unveiling of things that are hidden. That means that as you start to know God, as you come to the epignosis, to the complete and accurate knowledge of God, it is just the revealing. There is the revealing to make revealed that which is already yours. It's just that it is in a hidden form. Because the Bible tells us it is the glory of God to hide a matter. It is the glory of kings to search it out. So God loves to hide things in mysteries. Even that is why the devil could not understand the mystery of the Christ. Because if the rulers of the age had understood who Christ was, that by crucifying him, they will be releasing him into glory, they will never have allowed themselves to crucify him. But you see, it was hidden in a mystery. It was hidden in a wisdom of God. But you see, the Spirit of God comes to reveal to us the deep things of God. Even the things that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, what the Lord has prepared for those who love Him. And God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. So there is a Spirit that God gives us. There is a Spirit that takes us to the next level in our knowledge of God. There is a Spirit that when you ask God in prayer and you continually keep making this prayer, God is able to release it. There are things that God does not deny men. When you ask for wealth, well, He will consider, yes. But you see, when you ask for the wisdom and the revelation to know Him accurately, you know, for epignosis in your knowledge of the Lord, when you ask for that Spirit that knows God, remember the Holy Spirit is the Spirit that comes to guide us into all truth. But you see, when this Spirit of wisdom and revelation comes not only as a gift, but comes as your inheritance, then you start to see things in Scripture that are not common to the ordinary man. The ordinary believer, yes, knows the things that they are taught, the things that they have researched. But you see, there is a Spirit that starts to show you things in Scripture that you know this one you are not taught by any man. And it happens in the place of your contemplation, in the place of your meditation. When you land on a scripture, like for example, you go, it says, walk in the spirit, and you shall not gratify the desires of the flesh. Then you start to ask yourself, what does that mean to walk in the spirit? And you start thinking and deeply thinking. And as you're thinking, then the thought comes. When you walk in the spirit, you're walking in the obedience of the Holy Spirit. You're hearing his voice. You're being guided. You're conscious. And then you write it down. Then when you start being sensitive to that voice, the more you yield yourself to the voice of God. When the Bible says, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you start to be by the word of God and your ears are sensitive and are alert, and you're asking God in your heart, you are thinking, you are like, you want this thing to break. Or you're praying in tongues, but you're communing with God. You're asking him in your heart, God, I need to know, what is it that I am missing? What is it that I am lacking in this present situation that is denying me this breakthrough? That is the place of meditation and contemplation. And it is a prayer of inquiry. Until the eyes of your understanding are open. There is a place where your inner man starts to see. When the Bible says the spirit of man is the candle, is the lamp of the Lord, is the candlestick of the Lord, is the candle of the Lord. That means that you are searching the heart of God, and God is using your spirit to search the deep things. And as he starts to search, like faster than Google, as he starts to search deeper than AI, as he starts to search, then he starts to bring to your knowledge and awareness things that you do not know. The spirit of wisdom will make you accurate in your life. He will make you accurate in your delivery of things. That you can know the mind of God over a matter. You can know the mind, the timings of God. Then Apocalypse, the revelation, brings out the things that are hidden. Brings out the things that are concealed by God. Brings out the things that are yours. As I said, revelation becomes your permission. When you are brought to revelation, then you are brought to a deeper understanding. You are brought to a new realm. A new place of authority. Like, for example, when you learned about the mindset of the anointed, now you are brought to a mind, to a place where you know that things are yours. All things are yours, and things are of Christ. That's why Paul was crying out and saying, ever since I heard of your faith, I pray. I do not cease to give thanks to you, and I pray that the God, the Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, in the epignosis of him. You know, the Holy Spirit is a spirit of wisdom and revelation. You know, when you go to Isaiah 11 and it speaks of the Spirit of the Lord, and the Bible says, Isaiah 11, verse 1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might. That means wisdom goes together with understanding, the spirit of counsel and might. That means the counsel goes together with the power. That means when you know what God is saying over a matter, then you experience his power. Then the spirit of knowledge, when you know God, then you move in the fear of God. That means knowledge and the fear of God go together. when you come to the epignosis, when you come to the complete and accurate knowledge of God, of things ethical, that means of how you live your life, the things, how you operate, the things, you know, the thoughts of God. How does God reason? How will God judge this matter? When you think of David, a man after God's own heart, a man with the heart of God, he reasons the way God reasons. He gives mercy where God, the same way God will give mercy. He imputes righteousness on Saul, who is left alone, yet in the same way God was still having mercy on Saul, to allow him to keep his throne, yet he had rejected God. These are the things that move us into the spirit of wisdom and revelation, in the epignosis, in the complete, accurate knowledge of God. The Bible tells us when you come to this complete, accurate knowledge of God, then the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. That means the eyes of your understanding shall be flooded with light. There is a place where God brings light. Photizo, that's the word in Greek. Photizo, that means the entrance of your word bringeth light and understanding to the simple. That means when God's knowledge and truth comes over a matter, it becomes like a eureka moment. You know, the way the scientists will just shout, "Whoa, eureka, I got it." You know, they have been thinking of our matter. They have been trying to understand all this law of flotation, all this law of buoyance, and then it just hits them. It dawns on them. That means that light entered. When light entered, then you enter into a realm of understanding. There's the eye of your understanding, the eyes of your understanding. You see, your inner man has certain senses, and one of the senses is the eyes of your understanding. Once it is flooded with light over our matter, then you can know the hope of his calling. You know, you come to awareness, you perceive with the eyes. Now here is idol, you perceive the hope of his calling. What has Christ called us to? We are called to an eternal inheritance. There is an inheritance that is available for the saints. The hope of his calling, that means, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I tell you, our greatest inheritance is God himself. And the Bible says he has made us heirs and joint heirs of God with Christ. That means that God himself is our inheritance. He wants you to have, and he has given you all of himself. People are looking for God, yet God has given himself to us through his Holy Spirit. The same Spirit, his Spirit, is the one that is given to us as an inheritance. You have not received the spirit of the world, the spirit that makes you again a slave to fear. You have not received a demonic spirit, no. There is no way the evil spirits can possess you. Why? Because you have been given the spirit of God. Your house, your body is not a temple for demons. It cannot be a temple for idols. It cannot be a temple for demonic forces. But your body becomes the temple of the living God. This is where you understand the riches of your inheritance. When Christ says that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, when the scriptures we've seen that God desired to bring things in unity, things in heaven and on earth, that's why he says all authority in heaven and on earth, that authority that brings unity, that's why he says whatsoever you bind on the earth is bound in the heavens. Whatsoever you agree on the earth is agreed for in heaven. That means there is an agreement that now you operate from the earth, but you see there is unity of heaven and earth. That which you speak, that which you declare on the earth, that is why God is waiting for your words to declare truth, to speak the same way he spoke to the earth. Let the earth bring forth grass and herbs and fruit and tree, and in the same order that God asked, they came forth in that order, that means the earth heard the voice of the Lord. Jesus came, he spoke to the fig tree, and it heard. That means that every creation, all created things, he is the Lord of the creation. That means all things in heaven and on earth, they hear. When the Lord speaks, and God says that he has given you his spirit, and by which you can have knowledge, you can have understanding, you can have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And that is why God is waiting. There are things that he's waiting for you to speak. There are laws, there are new laws that he's waiting for you to legislate for yourself, for your family, for your clan, for your people. There are things that he wants you to legislate on. The Bible says, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. There is glory that is available for you and me. You know, this is one of those portions of scripture that you can teach and teach and teach and not exhaust, because this is what is available for you and me. There is a glory. We are called to glory. We are not called to shame. We are not called to disappointments. We are not called to poverty. But there is a riches. There are riches of glory. And that when you carry God, you carry everything. This is available for the saints. And that's why I said Ephesians is not a book for unbelievers. It's a book for believers. It's a book of understanding. It's a book of bringing you into maturity. And I pray that God opens your eyes, opens our eyes to know him better in the knowledge, wisdom and revelation, in the knowledge of him. That means it is a spirit. That means it is a gift. That means it is something that you can ask of God, is a complete and accurate knowledge of him. I'll stop here and I pray God gives us insight into this. My brother, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Manuel. Very clear on the need of seeking for God's wisdom and knowledge. And it's indeed, all wisdom comes from him, all knowledge comes from him. I think that is as simple as I get it. Without complicating it any further, that indeed we can't rely on our own understanding. Rather, we need to seek for his wisdom and knowledge. And that will guide us in life.
Amen. 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 Oh, yes, we need guidance. Father, we thank you. Thank you that you're the custodian of all knowledge. You're the custodian of all wisdom. You're the custodian of all truth. Indeed, we need you for life, for everything that concerns for life and godliness. We need you. And your divine power has given it to us through the epignosis, through the divine and accurate knowledge of God. I thank you that it is our inheritance, that indeed our eyes be opened, flood our hearts, flood our inner man, the eyes of our understanding with light, that we might know the hope of our calling. Indeed, lead us to those that will teach us. Lead us to those where you've already revealed it. Lead us that we may hear. And that we might walk in that truth, O God. Father, I thank you. Thank you for your mercies over your children, that they walk in health, they walk in provision, they walk in abundance, they walk in wisdom. They walk in the inheritance that is available, the glory that for the saints, they walk in epignosis. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. Thank you for speaking to us. Go ahead of us today. Grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Shalom and blessed morning.